gonna stand
I'm
up
gonna record this part.
I was gonna stand up and talk anyway.
That's messed up.
All right, so this is the deal, right?
Wait.
Look at this.
What?
So one of the things that we do in our church, right, in our group here, is that we are serious about equipping people. And the deal is this: is that most churches are so used to having professionals that are hired out from other places and not from in-house. In-house meaning like raised up from the congregation. That a lot of the congregation just ends up just sitting most of their Christian life. And I'm convinced through studying like Ephesians. That maturity in you guys comes from actually doing the work of the ministry. Preaching is not one of those things that is really easy. And the thing about it, I wish I could say that you could just come up and preach one time and know that you have to do the preaching or not, but that's just not the way it is. Like, I think it took me like 300, maybe 350 sermons before I realized, like, wow, I think, you know, that this might be something that I'm good at or I like doing or can become better at. Like 350. So in between the 1 and 350, like, I floundered every single time. But it was kind of bad because I was able to do it because it's my job, right? But now, like, it's like, wow, it's like a skill that you learn how to do. And every single one of you have spiritual gifts. Every one of you have talent that God has given you. But you have to, like, step out to be able to start utilizing those gifts. And teaching is one of those things, like, I would like, you know how we have so many worship leaders now? Like, we have, like, Robin, and we have Sang, and we have Sean, Julie, like, all these people that are leading songs, like Katie and Christy and Jill and all these people that are doing that. Like, we're trying to cultivate this culture in our group that we really, honest to goodness, believe that God has gifted you and given you spiritual gifts, and we want you to do the work in the ministry. Now, in the beginning, like, I'm not saying the fish is going to do a bad job, but in the beginning, you might think, oh, well, you know, Howard's way better.
Shut up.
But I'm just kidding. But you might notice a difference, because Fish is just learning, trying to learn how to do this. But this is one of the things that he's really, like, was thinking, like, wow, I would really like to learn how to teach the Bible and share. And, like, Sheena, Sharon, they're teaching the Bible, and Matthew, you doing Matthew Bible study. Sean is about to start, right? So we're really trying to cultivate this culture of living out the gifts. Does that make sense? So that we can help and encourage them. So you guys as a congregation, it is very easy for you guys to think, you know, start thinking critically, like, these are the things I don't like, this is what, you know, I think he did a bad job, and you can start thinking critically, or you can say, you know what, I really believe that God has spoken to Fish, and he has something for me today, and you can respond. Whether or not Fish does a good job, whether he chokes or not, whether he's really nervous, or whether he just knocks it out of the park, it's still that your responsibility as the people is to listen to the word, and to respond, and to internalize it, and to start letting it change you. Does that make sense? Is that good? So I just want to pray for Fish, because he's really nervous, and I am just enjoying it. It feels good. It feels
come
great.
On, come on.
So I'm going to pray for him, and then you guys just give him your attention, right? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for my brother, for the guts that he has just to stand up here and say that he wants to do that. I know that he's also being a blessing to me, because there's so much going on this summer, but just the fact that he said yes, I pray that you would help him to be fluid, have clarity in thought and in communication. God, that he would be able to connect with us and us connect with him as he shares all that you've spoken to him and taught him as he studied through this text. And I just pray against any kind of fear, any spirit of fear, any anxiety, anything that might stop him from communicating clearly. God, remind him that we are all family and friends here, and we love one another here, and that we're not judging him and hoping that he does bad. But instead just rejoicing that we get to be a part of his growth and answering the call. And so I just thank you for everybody here. Bless them as Fish shares in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, so first off, I have to tell the truth about why I'm preaching. I was at Howard's house, and I was just sitting there, like, on the couch, and Howard's just like, so Fish, like, You don't really have anything to do, right? Like, you're not like doing anything. You kind of feel like you're like bored, and I was just like, yeah, I guess. Like, I didn't know like where he was going with that, so I was just like, sorry. So he asked me, so do you want to pray preach for me on Sunday? And like at first, I didn't necessarily want to do that because I think like at the time I was sitting there and I was just like kind of spiritually dead. Like, I didn't feel like I was close to God. And then Ray goes, well, that's the best time to do it. So then I was just like, all right, I don't know why. There's something with Howard where I just can't say no. Like, I just feel obligated. But, no, I'm sure God had a lot to do with it. But, okay, so the scripture that we're doing today is 2 John. Sorry, I'm really nervous. 2 John 1, 4 through 11. But it's kind of the entire chapter. So the entire chapter is only, I think, let's see, it's only 13 verses, so it's like really short. It's like one page, but okay, I'm just going to kind of get into it. So the intro is not on there, but the difference about 2 John than 1 John is that John actually had an intro for this letter that he wrote to the church in Ephesus. He addressed himself first as the elder. So when he, so the first verse is the elder, and then the second verse is to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. So he actually kind of introduces, like says, hey, I'm writing to the lady chosen by God and to her children. So there's a like kind of a debate, or not debate, but conversation about is he writing to the church specifically, or is he writing to a specific lady that is like a kind of like an elder in the church also, because it says to the lady chosen by God and to her children. So it's kind of like you kind of think, okay, there's this lady like that's in the church, she has like she's probably older and has like people under her that, you know, look at her as an elder, look, respect her, stuff like that. So in that intro, you kind of hear John in his tone. He's saying, there's one thing that he kind of reiterates a lot. He says, to the lady chosen by God and to her children whom I love in the truth, and not in only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. So you hear that he's kind of reiterating truth, which is going to be important in the rest of his letter. I'm like so nervous. Why am I talking so fast? All right. Oh, I'm sweating. Okay. I don't want to be like this the whole time, so that's why I'm stopping. All right. Okay. I'm good. So he reiterates truth. I think what's important in that, and when he keeps saying truth, is that that's something that we all kind of share as Christians. Like, John, who's writing this letter far away, and he's writing to this church, he's talking about truth so much, and that's kind of like what brings us all together, like as a church, as Christians, as followers, the truth that we all know. We all have this truth in us, the Holy Spirit that comes in us when we believe, and it binds us stronger than anything. So the third verse is, so it says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love. So grace, mercy, and peace is kind of the key points he's making there. We all, like, who doesn't want grace, mercy, and peace in their life? He's making these points, and if you guys remember what Howard was preaching about in 1 John, or in whenever we talk about John, Howard's always saying, like, you know, John is the one whom Jesus loved. Like, John loves talking about love, how Jesus loves him, how he loves God, loves Jesus. So he can't even, like, the first thing he points out is, you know, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. So truth and love, those are going to be, like, my two major ideas that I'm going to, like, try to point out. So when he's saying this, he's basically saying, you know, grace, mercy, and peace, we can't have that without, you know, Christ, without the Father's Son. In verse 4, it says, it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love. See, love again. And then we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. So here in this verse, you're seeing God. John is talking about walking in the truth. John is an elder at this point. He's probably like 85 years old. So you hear him in what he's saying is that he's rejoicing, he's happy that he's seeing the children walk in truth, that he's like praising, like giving thanks, you know, that they're knowing the truth, and they're not just knowing it, but they're walking it, that you can see it in their lives. Verse 7, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and antichrist. You heard Howard talked about antichrist a lot. I'm not going to kind of dig into that very much. But it's prevalent because during this time, John was dealing with a lot of, what's it called, Gnosticism. So it was, the time period is like 80, 85 to 95. And, you know, Christ had died almost a century ago. Like, a lot of people were kind of taking his teachings and, like, saying, oh, well, Christ didn't really exist. It's just an idea. And it's really prevalent in today's world, too, because there's a lot of people that say, you know, Jesus was just an idea. He wasn't a man. That, you know, you have Oprah who believes, you know, everyone, like, all things point to religion. If you're Buddhist, Christian, Hindu, it doesn't matter. Everything points to God. It's just a really, you know, nobody wants to offend anyone. Everyone wants to say, you know, whatever you believe is cool, you know, like, you believe that, I believe this, we're all just going to go to heaven anyways. But he's saying here in 7 that these people who try to deceive and, like, and it's kind of complicating because I don't want to talk about Antichrist too much, but how, you know, Howard kind of was saying, like, you know, does that mean people in your schools and stuff that don't believe? I think it's really, like, important to understand that in this verse, like, he's not talking about necessarily, like, people that are non-believers or, like, that don't have a solid, like, understanding of God or people that know God. But he's talking about people who know God or, like, went to church and know the religion. And what they did was they took Christ's teachings and they, like, kept going with it. Like, they went, like, out left field and, like, made it their own, like, twisted it, you know, because if you think about that, saying that Christ wasn't a man, like Christ wasn't a real man, well, if Christ didn't come as flesh onto the world and die for our sins, then, you know, we're not saved. You know, that had to happen. God had to come down as flesh. He had to die on the cross. And I think a lot of people had a problem with that, especially like the Jews back then, because they were expecting something completely different. They were expecting like a political leader, all that stuff, and Christ just came and like completely, you know, flipped the script. Nobody knew like what to expect with him, and he preached love when they were expecting like a leader. So it was really like, I mean, there's a lot of Jews, of course, that like became Christians and followed Christ, but there's a lot that didn't really couldn't take it, couldn't like accept that fact. Verse 8, watch out that you do not lose what we've worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Okay, that's kind of self-explanatory. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. So my two major points that I'm going to talk about, I said, was love and truth, right? The first one is love one another. I think it's funny that I'm like, those are my two points. I was sitting in Pastor Hong's like sermon, and like his main point was like love one another. Like he was like three ways to, you know, like love. Like one of them was like love one another. That was like his major point. I thought that was interesting that he made that, because like that's when I like kind of like tuned my ears in and started listening. I mean, I was listening, but I mean, it's just like everything that I'm kind of gonna say is like. Like, I might jump back between those two points, but, like, it kind of, like, I'm going to bring it together at the end. It was, like, Thursday night, and we had the attic, and we were sitting there, and the theme song, hey, guys, all right, I'm on a roll now. All right, the theme song was Oh God, and actually, while I was writing this, I was listening to the song, like, over and over, and there's, like, this line in the song that says, we are joined as one by your blood. Like, we are joined as one by your blood. So, and I was just, like, kind of meditating on that. Because it, like I wasn't even listening to the song really. I was just trying to focus, read the scripture over and over and over, and like that like line just came out, and I was just like kind of like in awe, how like I feel like God just spoke to me right there, and He told me, like how binding His blood is. Like we all have family, we all have parents and siblings and stuff, but that's between our blood, like my blood to like my little brother or my blood to my parents. And I never really thought about it before, but God, if you think about like as us as Christians, we're all binded by God's blood, like Jesus' blood, that He actually physically went onto the cross and died for us. And like if we all believe in Him, then His blood is what binds us. And I was just thinking about how much that unites us more than anything else. More than our own family or our friends and stuff, it's like hard to like think about that, especially when you come to church and you see people around you, and sometimes like this becomes like becomes routine. You come to church and you see the same people, and you might not hang out with them during the week. You have school friends, you have other people. But the fact of the matter is that these people that you see here, if they believe in Christ and they are like bonded, you have a bond with these people, and they are your brothers and your sisters, and you have an obligation to them. Like you don't owe them anything necessarily, but you have this community or this bond with them that is stronger than anything, any other bond that you could have with someone else. I mean, marriage is different, I think. I don't know. I didn't think about that. But yeah. It's stronger than the bond. If my actual biological brother is not a Christian, and you know I have, and Dong's a Christian, my bond with Dong is stronger. And it's crazy to say, it sounds outrageous, but I have this connection with Dong that I don't have with my brother. That when I need guidance or advice or someone to talk to or someone to give me encouragement, like I can, but I'm not gonna get godly wisdom, godly advice. But when you turn to your followers in Christ, like fellow, brothers and sisters, like that's where you get, like that's where God can intervene. If you're coming to your, secular or like your non-Christian friends and getting advice from them, you're gonna get, I mean, you might get like some kind of like pretty decent advice about, oh man, you should, I don't know, because there's a lot of people out there. Like I'm thinking about a friend right now who's not a Christian, but like if you look at him and you talk to him, he seems like a really nice guy. Like he'll probably like want to be friends with him. He's cool. Like he makes you feel good. He might say, "Oh, nice shoes" or something. Like he's a nice guy. And if you ask him for advice, he might actually give you some pretty good advice. And I think that's kind of hard when you think about that, because I think a lot of us can think about good people in our lives that may not be Christians and don't follow God. But if you look at them, I'm thinking about one person in particular, Mark. You remember Mark from Jiu-Jitsu? He's like a really, really cool guy, but he's like straight up atheist. Like he doesn't believe in God. But and then I was like posting on my Facebook about my GoFundMe, and he's like liking my stuff and like sending me messages and like, you're not a Christian, but thanks, man. Like he's just really nice like that. He's like trying to help me support me going to Peru, but he's not even a Christian. So I think it's hard, like when you're surrounded by people like that sometimes, when you have like these good influences that aren't Christian, it's easy to kind of turn towards, like for me at least, all this is kind of coming from my own personal experiences, but like I'm reminded, that like that bond that you have with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, it's stronger, it's deeper. So I put here in it's otherworldly. So this connection we have with each other, it's otherworldly. And it actually works. That's the next thing I put. It actually works. I think that's something that we forget, that we come to church and we see the same people, and the hard thing about church sometimes is that you're around the same people like for years and years and years and years, and they see your garbage and they see your mistakes and they see your baggage. And one thing that we can do is that we judge each other, We judge each other for, so much about, these people. Like you guys know all about me. And I know, like, and I know a lot about other people too, and it's hard, because what that can do is, like, you can start having, like, this bitter heart towards, not bitter, but like, you, like, resent them, you know? And it's just, it's like you resent them because you know them, but at the same time, like, you've been around them for so long, you just get numb to them. And I'm guilty of this myself. Like, just being around people for so long, you forget, you know, like, what God's done and, like, how. And I'm talking for myself, you know. I come from the, like, you start having this pride, like, oh, I'm better than this person. I know all about them. Like, they're messed up in this way, this way, this way, and I'm better because I don't do that stuff, or I'm better because, oh, I've dealt with my problems, you know. Or, and I think that's, like, really dangerous, like, really, really dangerous when you kind of have that heart, when you come to church, especially when Romans. A really good verse. Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eyes on those who cause. Oh, that's the wrong one. Dang, that sucks. Sorry. Ooh. Sorry. How am I doing, Howard? Oh, bye. That's messed up. Oh, okay. Matthew 5:24. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. I think this verse is really powerful, because it's what God's pretty much saying is, before you come to me, you know, you have to go and reconcile with your brother, and especially your fellow brother in Christ. I think that's, like, super, super important, because it's so easy to shut, like, your emotions off to certain people. And I think I'm guilty of that too. I just shut down and don't want to deal with people, and just think that it doesn't really matter. Like, I don't have to talk to that person. I'll just ignore them. But in reality, it causes dissension. It causes, like, ill will, ill feelings when you come into this place or when you're hanging out in a group. It's so important to, like, deal with it, you know? Because the sooner you do, the sooner you go to that person, the sooner you talk to them, like, it, like, releases all this, like, tension. It releases all this pressure. And, I mean, like, I can feel this for myself. Like, I feel like I have to do that, even now, you know? So the other major point that I had was God's way is better. So, when I was younger, I'm going to go back to my first point. So when I was younger, in my, like, when I was in, like, my 18, 19 year old, I used, you know, I still came to this church, and I kind of feel bad, but I used to kind of think that Christians were soft, like, people that went to church and, like, were on the worship team and, like, Howard, and I just, like, thought they were soft, you know, like, they were, like, just didn't like conflict, didn't want to, like, afraid to, like, stand up for themselves, and, like, I didn't realize, like, how wrong I was, like, how wrong that thinking was. I remember I used to see Howard, like, apologize to youth, like, people in the youth. Like, someone would get offended or they'd be mad at him, and Howard would, like, hear about it or find out, and he'd go talk to that person, and he'd sit down with them and apologize. And I remember I used to think, like, wow, he's, like, 30-something, and he's, like, sitting down with a 15-year-old and apologizing. And I just didn't understand it. What I have learned since is just how, like, how that works, you know, and how important that is. I think a trend that's been going around is keeping short accounts. Like, I've heard a lot of people mention keeping short accounts. I think that it actually works. I used to not want to deal with stuff when I had problems with people. I'd rather just not talk about it, or I let it blow over, or, you know, I'd let time, like, go on and not talk about it, and I just think that it will go away. But I'm just reminded of that verse, be reconciled to them and then come and offer your gift. Before I can come to God, that I need to go to them first and be humble and apologize and repent to them, you know. So my other point, support God's way is better. I was talking to Howard about, he was talking to me. We were heading down to Augusta Friday, and he said that he was worried about me going to North Carolina, so because I'm moving soon. And when he said that, I was just like, why? What are you worried about? And then he just started making this making this entire scenario of what's going to happen when I go. He says, you're going to go. In the first week, you're not going to go to church because you were just settling in. And then the second week, you're going to say, oh, like, I wanted to go hang out with my mom. And then, like, a month's going to go by, and he's going to call me. I'm going to be like, I know, I should have went. I'm going to go. And he, like, literally saying this, and then a year's going to go by, and then you're going to finally go to church. And it's funny, like, he said that because as he was, like, saying to me, I'm worried about you going, I'm just like, man, like, it's not a big deal. I'm going to go to church. Don't worry about it. And, like, in the back of my head, I'm just like, well, even if I don't go the first week, you know, it's cool. Like, I have to get settled in. And, like, as he's saying it, and then as I'm thinking it, he's saying it. And then as he's saying, like, the first week part, I'm thinking about the second week part. So it's just funny, like, he kind of, like, knew where I was going with it. And I think the reason why he was doing that is just he's, like, seen my personal experiences, with church and with people, and he made this point. He says that I connect with non-Christians better than Christians, and I don't know if that's true. I think I can connect with non-Christians. I don't know why I'm talking about this. As he was telling me about this, I was just like reminded of myself, you know, like. He's saying these things, and I don't really know why Howard says stuff like that, because I'm just like, Howard, you know that I know that I need God, right? And then, but I think he's just doing it to, like, add extra pressure to making sure that I go to church and stuff. But I was talking to a friend of mine last night about, he's not a Christian. Well, he's like a Southern Christian, you know, like, everyone thinks they're saved down here, but they don't really, like, follow God. But he was like, I told him that I was preaching tomorrow, and he was like, what? Like, you're preaching? And I said, yeah. And then it was like a pause. Like, he didn't really know what to say. And I said to him, I was just like, hey, blank. Like, do you know why, like, I do stuff like that? Like, do you know why I'm preaching tomorrow? And then he was just like, no, man, I really don't know why. And then I was just telling him that even though, like, I fail, or, like, he's seen me fail. Like, I haven't probably been a great example of a Christian to him, or, you know, shown God's love so much, you know. But I just was, like, trying to be honest with him, and I just told him, my goal is not to be, like, the perfect Christian. My goal is not to never sin or always be on point with I do actually want to be on point with my relationship with God. But I know I can't, but, I mean, I'm going to strive towards that. But what I said to him was, what I just keep trying to do, like, no matter what, like, if I'm, like, sinning like crazy and just, like, having the worst week and, like, you know, just completely turning away from God, I just, all, like, my one goal is at the end of the day, or, like, while it's happening, or not while it's happening, but, like, after I deal with it, I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry, God, and I repent. Howard asked me to preach, you know, and I say yes. So the one thing that I always try to do is just, like, whenever I'm given those opportunities and whenever, like, God presents himself to me, I go for it. Because I know that's what I need, or that I know that's gonna be better for me in the end. This is, like, turning into my testimony. But, like, hey, how was your week, Fish? Oh, yeah, this is what happened. I had to preach. I guess my next point is, like, what's, like, my challenge to you, or, like, if you think about, like, your own life, who knows, like, who here knows, like, God is better? Like, you've heard this illustration a million times, like, What do you care about? You know, do you care? What seems better, God or, you know, having fun in college, or good job or nice car? Or maybe you're like a little bit deeper and you want to like have like really good friendships and relationships and people to care about you and you care about people. And I think it's like, obviously, like if you think about it, like logically, you think, I mean, you'll know like God is better than parties or stuff. I mean, if you're a Christian. But when it comes to like those like intricate parts, like, you know, good friendships and like people liking you, that all sounds like good stuff, right? It sounds like stuff that, you know, would be in a healthy, like a Christian life also. But I think the thing that we forget is how, like, is that your priority? Is that number one above God? What do you put like at the top of your list? So as I'm like, all these points kind of come together and like work together, like loving each other and loving God and his way being better for our lives. It's hard sometimes when you think about God because it just doesn't seem very practical. I know for me in my life, I can go through like weeks and not think about God, and I'm just so stressed out about the like life and school and friends and everyone. You know, it's just so easy to like not even throw God in the situation or in the solution. And I'm like reminded, and I want to remind you guys too that. Whatever you're going through and whatever is hard right now, like this sermon, God is like better. God is the better answer. Whatever is the best answer. Whatever situation you're in, if you're stressed out and you don't know what to do, like if you turn to Him, He will have an answer for you. I think that truth and love kind of live together, like the truth that God gives us, like it's the Holy Spirit, and we know what He's told us or what He's given us, and love kind of like definitely like live together. I think Howard made a point last week was like for a non-Christian, what's the most loving thing you can do for that person? And it's tell them about God. And I feel like God is just like so deep and like so intimate with each one of us, that we all share the same truth that, you know, God saved us and Christ forgives our sins and like this Holy Spirit in our hearts. But at the same time, like I was just thinking how like in like unique like God loves each one of us. If you look at your own life and you see what you go through and all your friends and your situations and what you go through in your daily lives, it's going to be different from mine. It's going to be different from Austin's. It's going to look different. So, and where how you live that out in your life and like how you like exhibit that truth and love, it's going to look different in each of our lives. And it just kind of blows my mind how deep God is in that way that. How I show love to people and how God loves me is different from each one of us, but the same at the same time. Like whenever I'm far from God and I know He's watching and I make those decisions, I forget how God is, how good He is. We were having the attic and I was like walking in and I was like, I knew I had to preach on Sunday, and I was just like, I'm so far from God. I don't even want, like, I hope this thing is over quick. And then, like, first song went by, and I remember I was thinking, man, I hope this, like, goes all night. So, like, in, like, a 10-minute span, like, God just completely, like, came and, like, changed my heart and just, like, made me feel, not just feel, but I wanted to be with Him. The second I decided to be with Him, my demeanor completely changed. Like I walked in, I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to look at anyone. I just wanted to sit here, get it over with, and go. And God didn't. That wasn't God's plan. And like an hour, like when we were all praying for each other, I was talking to April, and we were talking about like how like forgiving God is and how good He is, and I was saying, like, you know, an hour ago I didn't even want to be here, like I didn't want to be here at all, like I was like so dead, and I didn't really like want anything to do with God at the time, and like an hour goes by and I like made the decision and said yes, and now I'm like completely, my heart's completely changed, and He, you know, I like repented, and you know, I felt amazing, and I just knew that, and like in those moments, like I'm reminded like how like much better God is than what the world has, or like what I have to give, or whatever I have inside of me. So like in summary, I guess, like look at your own lives. Do you feel God's like practical? Like, do you feel His love? Like, and the thing about God, it's not that you either get it or you don't. It's up to us, because just like that song, "Oh God," it's like God, God is always near. Like, He's always there. He's always chasing you. He's always wanting to be with you, and it's up to us to turn to Him and stop running, because it's so easy to run and not even know you're running. Let me pray, and I'll close. Oh God, thank You so much for this time. I just pray that I just thank You so much for Your love and the truth that You've given us, and how we don't deserve it, and how even though when we run away and we don't want to be near You, God, You're constantly chasing after us, and You're constantly putting us in situations and opportunities to turn towards You. Your love is so amazing, God, and Your love is so deep, and we can't even understand how much You love us. Everything that You've done for us, and it shows how much, and we don't deserve any of it. Thank You for Your Son, and thank You for this truth that You've given us in our hearts. When we're in those moments when we turn away from You, I know when I'm far from You, God, and I feel You pulling towards me, Lord. Like, I feel You telling me to come back, and that's Your Holy Spirit, and thank You so much for that. I pray for this community, God, and I pray for honesty, and I pray for being real with each other and not hiding behind these walls that we've made, these personalities that we've developed, or not developed, but like conjured up to look impressive, to be cool, to be somebody that we're not. I know, God, that You have a plan for all of us, and You have a plan for who You want us to be. And I pray that we will all strive towards that, Lord, that You would just continue to love us and let us continue to show that love to the world and to each other. I just thank You so much, Lord, and I pray for every person in this room. And I pray all these things in Your name. Amen.
Okay, I think, all right, I'll pray again. Let's pray. Dear Father God, thank You for this time, and I pray for the offering. I pray that You would use it to Your glory. Just bless us today and throughout the week, and for the teams that are going out to Cali, and for the Peru team, and just everything that's going on this summer. I just pray that You'll be there and watch over us, and just be there in all the small moments and the big moments. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
What? Oh, I'm sweating, fam.
One down.
can you get this off of me? Are you hungry?